The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
All those moments will be lost in time. Like tears in rain.
Coming to you from the Frustrated Incorporated compound overlooking the beautiful Arizona Bay, this is Inconclusive Breakdown. I'm your host, Justin, joined as always by Skeets the Wonder Dog. And this week's just Vince and me.
Just me.
Say hi to the people, Vince.
Hey, people, Vince.
How hungover are you?
Pretty good. Doing good.
Doing good.
Head's pounding, yo.
Yeah, Vince decided to
tie one on
last night.
I did.
Alcohol gets rid of the Corona Chan.
It does. It's been a couple of months.
Yeah. It was time.
It was.
It was time. So, all right. Coming up on this week's show, Bernie pisses off Miami, Waco, C2E2, Bloomberg, Biden, Greta, AEW Revolution, and much more. This week, we cast Office Space. Instead of a top 10, we cast Office Space with 1980s actors. And, of course, we'll answer your listener questions. Oh, you ready to get into this, Vince?
Yes.
All right. TV news this week. NBC Universal's upcoming streaming platform, Peacock, bulked up their library content this week as they signed a licensing deal with A&E Networks. They will see libraries for unscripted series, including Cold Case Files, First 48, Storage Wars, History Channel's American Pickers, Ancient Aliens, Curse of Oak Island, Pawn Stars, and their scripted drama Project Blue Book. Formal date for Peacock's debut has not been yet, but it will be later this year. So,
aliens and Nazis, man.
That's what History Channel is now. Yep. History. Yeah. Sci-Fi Network has ordered a 10-episode show.
Aliens and Nazis.
Aliens and Nazis. Well, this one's zombies. It will be a show inspired by Romero's Day of the Dead. The remake will tell the tale of the intense story of six strangers trying to survive the first 24 hours of the undead invasion. It is described as an ode to Romero's famous movie and reminds us that sometimes all it takes to bring people together is a horde of hungry zombies trying to rip you apart. I wonder if they came from China.
Wow. We're beating that dead horse, aren't we?
Nay.
That's awful.
I know. NBC has given a three-season more order for Law & Order, Sport Utility Vehicle.
Oh, God.
You know, where it's always the white guy that's the rapist.
Rape.
Which will make it the longest-running live-action TV series. They also gave three-season orders for Dick Wolf's other shows, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and Chicago Med. So that pretty much dominates Wednesday night in the ratings. So
everybody loves rape.
That was a horrible show.
Which one?
It was always Everybody Loves Rape.
Oh.
You had the weird brother. You kind of knew he was, but he was a cop, so he probably got away with it, sure. Type of thing. Yeah. This was upsetting news to me. If you have the streaming service Tubi, which is a really good free streaming service, it's ad-supported, a lot of good horror movies. My favorite miniseries, The Lost Room, is on there, by the way. Fox is trying to buy it for more than $500 million. Rupert Murdoch's broadcasting and cable company would be adding a dedicated streaming component, offering over 20,000 older TV shows and movies to watch for free, ad-supported, to its portfolio. The deal is not done yet, but they are in lengthy discussions. So, I really like Tubi, but if they buy it, I hope they don't change it, but they will.
They will. Is Crackle's not around anymore, is it?
Yeah, Crackle's still around.
Is it? They took, they took Starving off there, I think. I loved that show.
Did they? Yeah, I really like Tubi. There's a lot of good stuff on that. So get it and watch it while you can. All right. Last thing for TV news this week. Oh. The BBC. That bastion of
the big
historical
the big black
accuracy.
Cock.
Yeah, historical accuracy. Set to run a new drama featuring controversial musician Stormzy. I've never heard of this person. Which will depict a dystopian future where white people are slaves and black people are the masters. White characters will be serving black guests, have their names mispronounced, and Band-Aids will be brown. The drama will be called Knots and Crosses, which is the British name for tic-tac-toe. Whites will be knots and blacks will be crosses, of course. According to The Guardian, the show's writer, Mallory Blackman,
there it is.
Hope's TV adaptation will open up more nuanced debate on race in the United Kingdom. Now, there's the realization that diverse stories do make money. Films like Black Panther and Hidden Figures would have been much harder to get them off the ground, to get this off the ground if it wasn't for those. There's an audience desperate for new content and new voices, and I think a lot of people are waking up to that. This comes at a time when white actors have been increasingly denied roles, historical roles being handed to minorities, sacrificing authenticity, and the BBC has been known to discriminate against white job applicants in the past. Blackman went on to say, it's all based on true stuff. Huh?
Say what?
Yeah, this person thinks that they was Kangs? Question mark?
It was Kangs.
Hyphen? Okay. You know how they built the pyramids?
They did?
No, do you know how they did it?
They floated the rocks or whatever to the thing?
They used the force
or something?
They started at the bottom and worked their way up.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, that's how you build a pyramid.
Is this you trying to be funny? Because I don't fucking feel like you being funny today, all right?
I love messing with you when you're hungover.
Well, thank you.
I can't lie.
I know.
All right, we'll go to movie news. Harvey the Wonder Rapist. The once powerful Hollywood mogul was found guilty of rape in the third degree on Monday, but acquitted on the two most serious charges, capping the landmark Pound Me Too trial. The jury in New York convicted him of third degree rape of Jessica Mann, a former aspiring actress, as well as a count of criminal sexual act in the first degree against Mimi Haley, a former Project Runway production assistant. The jury found him not guilty on two counts of predatory sexual assault, which each carried a sentence of up to life in prison. He was also acquitted on account of first-degree rape against a man. He now faces a sentence of 5 to 25 years on the most serious count. So, there you go.
All allegations, though, right? There were no...
This was all... the evidence was all... He said, she said. So, but you knew they were going to have to find him guilty of something.
I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, be a dick about it. I mean, I'm sure he might have done it. I don't know, but damn. All allegations.
Yeah. Yep. Disney has announced that its new upcoming film, Onward, will feature the first openly gay character in the company's history. The film is set in a fantasy world of mystical creatures such as elves and dragons, and the character in question is a purple lesbian cyclops named Spectre. The character will be voiced by an actual lesbian, actress Lena Waithe.
I don't care.
Diversity makes us stronger?
I don't care.
Speaking of Disney, CEO Bob Iger stepped down this week. No warning to this at all. He will assume the role of executive chairman. Disney announced that Bob Chapek, who most recently served as chairman of Disney Parks, will assume the role of CEO effective immediately. He will continue to report to Iger and be appointed to the board of directors at a later date. Disney shares of Disney fell 2.5% after the announcement. But something I did find odd this week, that he stepped down on the 25th, which I believe was Tuesday. Multiple CEOs stepped down that day. CEOs of Uber Eats, Salesforce, MasterCard, and Disney all mysteriously resigned or stepped down on the same day.
Hmm.
that makes you go wonder why. All on the same day, all unexpectedly, no warning.
Deep state.
Nothing like that. Just it seems odd.
Deep state.
Something like that. After a long development process, Steven Spielberg will not direct Indiana Jones 5. He is handing it to another filmmaker for the first time in the franchise's 39-year history. It looks like, while a deal hasn't closed yet, James Mangold looks like he's going to get the job. He's been put in a situation like this before, where he took over the Wolverine franchise. He was the director of Logan, which grossed like over $600 million. So Spielberg will remain on as a, quote, hands-on producer for Indiana Jones 5, but he will not direct. So,
oh boy.
I loved Logan, so maybe he can get a good acting job out of Harrison Ford. Who knows?
What are they going to do with this one?
I don't know. Hopefully this is the end.
There's a wooden door on this room.
Maybe his little bastard son will stab him through with a laser sword.
Oh, well, that can we have, can that happen?
Well, it did in a one movie, but that movie wasn't really successful. But maybe they can redo it better.
Oh, I don't think I've ever made it through that movie.
Which, oh, the Crystal Star Wars Skull. Thing? Oh, Crystal Skull.
Oh, we're talking about Star Wars.
It's the same thing. They really are. That's Crystal Skull was just as bad as the Star Wars movies. So, all right. Last thing for movie news this week. Chris Brimmer, who co-wrote the surprise hit Bad Boys for Life, he's going to write our Mask movie from Paramount and Hasbro's take on the toy line. F. Gary Gray, who directed The Fate of the Furious and Men in Black International, will direct and co-produce the movie. So they're trying to work. They're trying to work into the shared universe of Mask, G.I. Joe, and Transformers.
Will it which work?
It could. Of course, Mask was an offshoot of G.I. Joe anyway. And the G.I. Joe Transformers comic series was actually pretty successful and made a little bit of sense. So, I think it's possible.
Don't tell me about making sense.
Okay. All right, speaking of no sense, let's go to comic book news this week. DC's now sole publisher and chief creative officer Jim Lee has indicated that DC will not replace former co-publisher Dan DiDio, who was recently fired last week. Speaking at his personal spotlight panel during C2E2, he told the audience, "There's continually new things going on. I'm looking at being sole publisher now and the team I'm working with. Much more in the trenches now than ever before. We've been at Warner Brothers for decades. The actual strategy for DC is to put publishing at the center of what we do. It's the engine of all the movies, TV, cartoons, everything that comes out of it. So it is my intent going forward as the publisher, as the publisher," he emphasized the, "to lean into the collective for years of my team." He also seemingly but vaguely addressed rumors that came out this week about Marvel buying DC Comics. Shooting down any chance of this. He said, "To address some of the stuff that's out there, these rumors, I wouldn't put any credence into it. DC has been around for 85 years and will be around for another 85 years. So there you go.
Credence.
AT&T still fucking it up.
Yeah, they're going to ruin it. Sorry.
Yeah.
There goes the fucking Terrifics.
Don't say that. Don't take one of the few good things that I have, and it'll be ruined anyway. Also announced at C2E2 in Chicago, Marvel Comics has revealed a new 15-part X-Men crossover that will start in July, titled, it says X of Swords, but it's actually Ten of Swords. The series will have 10 mutants rise up to defend the mutant nation of Krakoa. The series will feature legendary blades that are both familiar and new to Marvel history, and will have mutant kind finally meet its mystical destiny. I put the teaser up in the Facebook group and on Twitter about Cyclops has a laser sword that looks oddly like a lightsaber. I think this is his Father Corsair's sword. Which would kind of make sense. The Starjammer sword.
That's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. So, we'll see. 15-part crossover. That's a lot of books. Holy crap. Back orders continue to come in for Batman number 90. Has sold out at a distributor and publisher level. This is before it even comes out this coming week. Comes out on the 4th. As a result, DC is rushing back to press for a second printing. This marks the second subsequent pre-on-sale sellout for the series. This follows Punchline's debut in Batman 89. Batman 90, second print, part 5 of their Dark Designs storyline. The issue is a special flashback to the early days of the designer's plan and will arrive in stores with a recolored version of its original cover by George Jimenez. A mysterious master criminal known only as the designer once brought together Gotham's greatest criminals to plot the perfect crime. Now his plan has been unleashed upon the city in all its might. Batman will go to any length to discover or to uncover the grand design, but Catwoman is the one that holds the greatest secret. If Batman wins against the designer, he will lose everything. So, 89 that came out this week, there are certain comic shops that are saying that you have to, in order to buy that issue, you have to buy the two previous issues as well. Because apparently a lot of people are buying 89 and then flipping it online for like 10 times. So they're buying it for $4, flipping it for 40 to 50.
Shut up. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, just because it's the Punchline's debut. Punchline, they're trying to make the new Harley. It's the Joker's new female sidekick.
Oh, Jesus.
So, yeah. Last thing for comic book news this week. Animal Man by Grant Morrison. They announced that the Book 2 Deluxe Edition now officially has a release date, September 8th. So if anybody wants to buy me that, I would be grateful, very grateful. Thank you. So, all right, that was it for comic book news. Your recommendations of books that came out this week. Fantastic Four, Grim Noir. I think this was a one-shot, but it was a very good Ben Grimm solo detective story. Red Hood Outlaw 43 came out this week. Ghost Rider number 5. Spectacular Spider-Ham number 3. X-Men Fantastic Four number 2. Vince, we have Sentinels.
Fucking finally. In a movie?
In a book. This is the X-Men Fantastic Four crossover about what will Franklin Richards do? Because apparently he's a mutant. Does he go with the mutants on Krakoa or does he stay with his actual family? But guess who's building the Sentinels?
Who?
Well, let's just say they're not purple. They're green.
Oh, shit. Who's building them?
Who wears a green hood that has to do with the Fantastic Four?
Dr. Doom.
Yes.
That's funny.
Sentinels are now gigantic Doom bots. He has the Sentinel technology.
That's fantastic.
That is awesome. I'm way happy about that. Detective Comics 1020 came out this week. And lastly, Usagi Yojimbo Color Classics number 2. If you like the colorized old Usagi stories like I do, issue 2 came out this week. Very good. So, yeah, when I saw Green Sentinels at the end, I'm like, oh, that's perfect. So, yay. All right. Go to wrestling news this week. As for now, WWE tag team The Revival have filed for trademarks for Say Yeah, Top Guys, and No Flips, Just Fist. They filed with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. They've been quite vocal about their desire to leave the company at the end of their current contracts, and this adds more fuel to their impending departure fire. Top Guys will probably be their team name when they go to AEW. So there you go. WWE on the 24th suspended Samoa Joe for 30 days, effective for his immediately for his first violation of the wellness policy. Can't catch a fucking break, Samoa Joe. Good lord.
Come on, dude. What the fuck?
Tony Schiavone announced on his Twitter that he is now with AEW full time. He has left his duties in the baseball world, announcing behind. Also, AEW news here, in a major win, their new action figure line will be carried by Walmart stores. The first wave will feature Cody, the Young Bucks, Brandy, Jericho, and Kenny Omega. There will be a short pack variants of Cody in a Starfleet shirt, and Omega in his outfit from Fight for the Fallen, which will be very exclusive and rare. The second wave, which would likely hit late October, will feature MJF, Phoenix, Pentagon, Hangman Page, Jon Moxley, and Dustin Rhodes. The entire roster has been scanned for action figures, and the plan is to roll out everyone in the company over time with new waves every few months. There will also be a collector's size wrestling rings, a smaller ring aimed for kids, and an AEW championship belt replica. So I still want my Jurassic Express 3-pack. That's all I want. AEW also announced that Lance Hoyt has signed and will debut on next week's show. They have also announced that Colt Cabana has signed with AEW. It's a non-exclusive, so he can still wrestle in the NWA, who will be an announcer, wrestler, coach, and can work other places such as the NWA. So they also announced that Blood and Guts, which will be their version of War Games, so two rings side by side, surrounded by a cage, is scheduled for an episode of Dynamite on March 25th. So and we got about 24 days until that happens. So there you go.
Yay.
Yay. Go to sports news this week. We had a story about Ryan Newman's wreck at Daytona and how he walked out of the hospital and all that. He did say that he did suffer a head injury in the crash. He did not disclose details in a statement from the driver. I was fortunate to avoid any internal organ damage or broken bones, but I did sustain a head injury from which I'm being currently treated. Doctors have been pleased with my progression so far. There's no timetable for his return to racing, but he is determined to get back to the track. So head injuries are, you never know if you're going to be right from them again. So,
well, at least Tony Student didn't hit him.
This is the womp womp sound effects.
Womp
womp womp womp womp womp
womp womp.
All right. Boxer Deontay Wilder said he wants another rematch against Tyson Fury and attributes his loss to his ring walkout costume being too heavy. The 6'7" Wilder told Yahoo Sports that Fury didn't hurt him in the fight, and that it was his elaborate costume that left him with no legs. Wilder said he will exercise his rematch clause in a bid to regain the WBC heavyweight title from Fury. It looks like the third fight could happen this summer, but dude, you just got beat the fuck up. You were literally bleeding out of your ear.
That's not good.
But I didn't have my legs because of my Wakanda outfit.
He had a Wakanda outfit?
It was a Black King. It was just a stupid look. Apparently the outfit was 40 pounds. If you're dumb enough to wear a 40-pound costume to the ring because you want to be showy and not win a fight, you get what you get, but you just got beat the hell up, dude.
That's what happened to Apollo.
Yeah.
He was acting all showy and fucking
Drago
beat the fuck out of him.
And Drago ended that shit real quick.
If he dies, he dies.
He dies. And apparently Wilder has also fired his trainer, the guy that actually threw in the towel. So, sure. Yeah, you're just trying to find any excuse than the fact that you just got beat up by a white gypsy.
Don't be like that.
Why? The guy's literal nickname's the Gypsy King.
Yeah, but he's Irish, isn't he?
No, I think he's British.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, they all look the same.
Jesus, you can't. Well, I guess with whites,
I can't say that.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Yeah. All right. Next story here. International Olympic Committee member, and I had to look this up to make sure this was true. His name is actually Dick Pound.
Fuck yeah, it is.
He said that the Tokyo Olympic organizers have until late May to see if the coronavirus is under control. If not, quote, you're probably looking at a cancellation. So they are actively looking at canceling the upcoming Summer Olympics because of Corona Chan.
Go, go, Corona Chan.
But literally, his name's Dick Pound. Come on. Your parents hated you. That's hilarious.
I'd at least go by Richard.
Yeah, they're not going to cancel the fucking Olympics. They're out of money. Come on, man.
Everybody's getting better, apparently.
Yeah. All right, next thing here. Tennis star Maria Sharapova announced she is retiring from professional tennis at age 32. She had dealt with recurring tendon damage in her right shoulder and inflammation in her forearms that makes it excruciatingly difficult for her to even grip a racket. So she has announced that she is not leaving tennis, but she is retiring from professional tennis. So it'd be nice to retire at 32, wouldn't it? Multi-millionaire.
Yeah, no shit.
Modeling contracts.
I'll give her something to grip.
Do I say the joke about holding little things? Or
Hey. I could be like that. Kick me when I'm down.
Hey, you're finally on my level. Right. you're down here with me. I can take a shot. Speaking of somebody who's not retiring, Tony Romo, former Cowboys quarterback, and CBS has agreed to a deal that will make him the highest paid NFL analyst in TV history. Deal which will pay him around $17 million a season. The long-term deal, sources say, is for significantly more than 5 years, which will mean the total value for his contract will well surpass $100 million.
Oh, is that
to
all?
Sit there and be a commentator for the foosball.
God, wow. Can you imagine?
$17 million. Plus, he was banging Jessica Simpson when she was a drunk.
Really?
Yeah. Dude lives the life.
Damn it. Must be nice.
Yeah, it must be. But he was a cowboy. So, you trade off, I guess. All right, that was it for sports. Vince, you got anything for the video game? Because we saw a video this week that you sent me that looks holy crap amazing.
Larian? Is that the company that makes Divinity Original Sin 2 and 1 and all the other Divinity games?
That sounds right.
They have had the torch passed unto them, and now they are making Baldur's Gate 3. The trailer dropped this week. It is fucking amazing. If you don't
even to me, who's not a gamer, was like, I can play this. It looks fantastic. It looks so good.
Yeah, it looks absolutely fantastic. Let's see, Predator Hunting Grounds to get a trial weekend in March on PS4 and PC. It's kind of like I think it's more like that Jason game.
Okay.
Where you go around and
the Friday the 13th game. Yeah, you go around it. Hunting people. Yeah.
There's a Borderlands 3 hot fix update. Better grab that or don't, so you can, you know, get free money and shit. You know how they hack shit.
Yeah.
There was something else that I had. Did you send me something else?
Yes, the guy that did the up, up, down, down code passed away.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. What was his name?
Oh, you ass.
Hitori. Hitori Hanzo.
Hitori. I'm pretty sure that wasn't his name, but...
The TV spot for Doom dropped last week, and it got a resounding fuck you from everybody because the most metal video game ever made had rap in it.
Oh, God, really?
And it looked freaking awful.
Baldur's Gate looked good, though.
Baldur's Gate, yeah. If there's anything that's any news of this week, it's Baldur's Gate, and it looks fucking amazing.
Kishida Hashimoto.
Yeah, Hitori Hanzo.
Passed away at 61. He was the creator of the Up, Up, Down, Down Konami code.
Yep. I can't even remember. Up, Up, Down, Down, Left,
Left,
Right.
Left, Right, Left, Right. Left, right. Left, right, left, right, BA. If it's two player, it's select start. If it's only one player, it's just start. So,
listen to you. All right, that's all I got. That's all I got.
I just want to go back and I want to actually play Baldur's Gate now because it's turn-based RPG, D&D, hell to the yeah.
Yeah, it's like the old school shit, man. It looks great.
Crap. My bleeding like hell over here. Oh, I'm bleeding. I'm good.
That's not good. Listen to you. I'm good.
I'm good. I'm fine. All right, we'll go to music news this week. The city of Miami has responded to communist Bernie Sanders' pro-communist remarks from last Sunday night, by announcing on Monday that the city is officially sponsoring an anti-communism concert to celebrate freedom. The mayor and the city commissioner, who don't agree on much, were in lockstep Monday promoting the anti-communist concert set for April 11th at the Knight Center downtown. All of the city's elected officials agree. The commission voted 5-0 to co-sponsor the event at the city-owned center and said the city would waive the $21,000 in rental costs, broadcasting fees, police, and fire services.
Sure.
The mayor highlighted Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua, saying our city represents the stories of countless individuals who risked their lives to flee communism. Each and every life that has fled communism has proven how we will pursue democracy and freedom. Even in the face of oppression, freedom can never be suppressed or silenced. 22 artists are scheduled to perform, including
Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, because they are commies. They are communists, but still charge $400 a ticket. Just saying. Legendary Cuban American trumpet player Arturo Sandoval, singers Willie Chirino and Amari Gutierrez. Emilio Estefan said he plans to attend the concert, though he will not be performing. All of the artists have agreed to perform free of charge, with proceeds from the event going to cover expenses and all additional money going to nonprofits to help political prisoners in Cuba. During a press conference on Monday, Suarez hammered Sanders on his pro-communist remarks on last week's 60 Minutes. Sadly, even now, we see individuals defend and even promote communism and socialism. Presidential candidate Bernie Sanders glorified socialism in a 60 Minutes interview by defending elements of Castro's regime. Sanders was pressed on Sunday over numerous positive remarks he has made in the interview and in the past about Fidel Castro and communist dictators of the like. We're very opposed to the authoritarian nature of Cuba, but you know, it's unfair to simply say everything is bad. You know, when Fidel Castro came into office, you know what he did? He had a massive literacy program. Is that a bad thing, even though Castro did it? This is what Sanders said, which is false because that was communist propaganda. It was widely attacked across the political spectrum. But can you imagine if Trump had said something like, well, you know, Hitler was bad and everything he did was horrible, but man, shower sales in Germany went through the roof under his leadership.
Yeah, wooden doors, too.
Wooden doors, right. Shower sales. Yeah. Can you imagine if he defended Hitler the way that fucking Bernie defends Castro?
Or communism.
Or any altogether? Yeah.
You know, I was talking about this at work the other day. I usually like to try to play the field and see who's what, you know, Democrat and Republican, you know, see who's really out there.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't nobody who's a Democrat that's worth a fuck this year.
Nope.
They all suck.
They've moved so far left. It's not even, there's no Democrat Party anymore. They're all socialists and communists.
Yeah.
Communism and socialism is the same fucking thing. Yeah, there's no middle. If a good middle ground candidate would probably win, but that's not where anybody's at. So
we need a Kennedy.
You need a liver, sir.
I need a. We need almost like a Kennedy Democrat again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We ain't gonna get that.
Except he can't go to Dallas, because we know how that ended. But that only ended. That only ended because he said he was gonna. Split the CIA up.
You know, I've heard that, and I've heard that he didn't get Cuba for the mob.
Because
Cuba was going to be like Vegas is now.
Ah.
It's going to be a playground.
That makes sense. Last thing for music news. Glenn Danzig.
Oh, God.
He's going to release a almost certain to be hilarious cover of Elvis Presley songs called Danzig Sings Elvis. This will be released on April 17th, but that's not all. According to his Facebook post, two live performances in late April will be announced next week for LA and San Francisco. These will be small, intimate, seated performances as Danzig wants to try to capture an old Vegas nightclub atmosphere for these two special shows. I want Glenn Danzig in the Las Vegas Elvis, Fat Elvis jumpsuits.
Have you watched that movie yet?
Veronica?
Yeah.
His horror movie?
Yeah.
Yes, I have. Have you?
I have not.
It's so bad, it's funny.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
It's so bad. I mean, you're talking Ed Wood levels of bad.
Oh, come on.
Like, the first third of the movie, you obviously know all the actors are American, obviously, but they all do, like, that really horrible French accent. The ho-ho, look at me.
Oh, oui, oui.
Yes, that's the whole first third of the movie.
Oh, Lord.
It's in three sections because it's like Tales from the Crypt type thing. It's so bad. Oh, my God. It's the type of thing you show at midnight on Saturdays type of thing. Or the Friday night showing that used to be Rocky Horror.
No shit, it's that bad.
It's that bad. It's beautiful. I want a sequel. That's how, yeah. He's got to make another one. Is it bloody and, you know, nudity and all that? Yeah. I mean, eyeball, nipples, the whole thing. It's, if you, one, don't watch it around kids, obviously. But two, it's, you're literally not going to go, oh, God, and react in a horror movie way. You're going to go, that's retarded. Yeah.
I really wanted to see it, too.
Oh, you still have to watch it. You have to watch it.
You still have to watch it.
Yeah, you have to watch it, so. All right, that was it for music news this week. Vince, I think we have a song of the week.
We do.
Is it the same one we talked about while we were drinking?
Yeah, of course it was.
Of course it was. Well, pull the curtain back on that song deciding process.
Yeah, don't think too much into it. All right, guys, it's just come on. It sounded so good last night.
It really did. You know what's a good song? This is a good song.
God, I love this song.
I love this song. We're gonna do it for song of the week. So
yeah.
All right, so we'll play Song of the Week, plug our friends, and when we come back, it will be time to cast Office Space, but with actors from the 1980s.
Take me now, baby, here's I am. Pull me close, try and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed.
What's up, everybody? This is Handsome Dan Lopez, the smartest man not in professional wrestling, and I am the host of Handsome Dan's Final Say, the show that is guaranteed to raise your wrestling IQ. We premiere new episodes on Tuesdays on WLWstudios.com, as well as the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. When will the next episode debut? Stay tuned to my Twitter feed at Dan's Final Say or the Facebook page, facebook.com/Dan's Final Say, to make sure that you don't miss a single episode. Raise your wrestling IQ.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on RantEMRadio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
For over 8 years and 450 episodes, the Shining Wizards has brought the wrestling fans the greatest guests, the most insightful discussions, and lots of laughs in talking about the world of professional wrestling. The show airs live every Monday night at 7 p.m. East on RantEMRadio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app, and of course is available on all podcast platforms. To check us out, go over to ShiningWizards.com and get ready to join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
And we are back. No top 10 list this week. It's time for our casting. Kind of suggested by Handsome Dan Lopez. He suggested Anchorman or something like that. But we decided to go with Office Space with 1980s actors. Your character rundown here: Peter, Joanna, Michael Bolton, Samir, Lawrence, Milton, Lumberg, Tom, and the Bobs. Vince, where would you like to start? Top or bottom?
Peter.
Peter. Of course, you always start with Peter.
That's funny. I like that. Kick me when I'm down.
Yep. All right. So who's basically your lead?
Steve Guttenberg.
Oh, Guttenberg. I didn't even think of Guttenberg. That's that's lovely.
I know.
Oh, that's brilliant. I went with who was one of the most handsome, good-looking stars of the 80s.
Tom Selleck?
Oh, that'd have been good. I went Rob Lowe.
Oh, that's good, too.
Yeah, Rob Lowe's my Peter, but either of those are really good picks, to be honest with you. All right, so who gets the Jennifer Aniston Joanna role?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, that's good. I had two written down because I thought you might take one.
Oh, I see how you did.
Yeah, I have Heather Locklear.
Oh, that's good.
But I also had Mia Sara.
Oh, fucking Mia Sara.
I think I'll go with Heather Locklear on this, but I thought you might take her, so I had Mia Sara as a backup. But all right, that takes us to Michael Bolton.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh, yeah, that's
what was that?
That's good.
You were like, Oh, yeah, that's good shit.
That's good shit. It's good shit, like Goldberg winning the title. Good shit, yeah. For my Michael Bolton, I wanted somebody who's real straight-laced, but then just could snap, but it's funny. So I went John Ritter.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So, all right, that takes us to Samir.
Fisher Stevens.
Okay.
Because he played an Indian in in Short Circuit.
Yeah. Now, see, this is the one I screwed up on because I couldn't think of a brown person.
Oh, here it comes.
So I went, well, who else could act foreigner-y? Bronson Pinchot.
That's so good.
Is the is the only other acting foreign that I could think of. So, Hollywood. Yeah. All right, that takes us to Lawrence. This was Diedrich Bayer in the movie, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
I've got Michael Keaton.
So do I. God damn it. Yeah, this is where I got Keaton at. That's perfect for him.
Yeah, it is.
The Mr. Mom era Keaton, yeah. All right, this takes us to Milton. Him and his stapler.
All right, Curtis Armstrong.
Okay.
Booger.
That's good. He does Domino commercials now. That bothers me.
I know.
He should be in better shit. Good pick, but...
You know this mountain's made of pure snow? You know what the street value of this mountain is?
About tree fitty. Yeah. I want somebody who mumbles, but you could also legitimately see him set everything on fire. Ladies and gentlemen, Milton will be played by Bobcat Goldthwait.
That ain't no shit. Holy fuck, that's so good.
Yeah. Stapler. Yeah. All right. Who's your Lumberg?
James Spader.
Oh, that's so good. Damn it. That's probably better than mine. Because I went, who could be straight-laced but just be an annoying asshole? Tom Hanks.
Well, that's good, too.
I think yours is better, though. But damn, that's good. Spader's really good. All right. Who is our old guy, Tom, that inevitably just gets hurt all the time?
Wilford Brimley.
Oh, I didn't even think of him. Oh, Mr. Diabetes.
Yeah, I got the sugar.
I went Ted Knight.
Oh, that's good, too. Fuck.
Because I was either going to put him or Jim J. Bullock somewhere in this, but I didn't. Oh.
Is he still alive? Ted Knight's dead, right?
Ted Knight is dead, yes. Jim J. Bullock, I believe.
He's still alive.
I believe Jim J. Bullock is still alive. Yeah. Yes, he is. He is 65. Good God, he's 65.
How's he still alive?
I don't know. Doesn't he have the HIV?
Yeah.
But Charlie Sheen has it too. Now Charlie Sheen's got full blown AIDS.
But not HIV, full blown AIDS.
Yeah, full blown AIDS. All right. So that's our Tom. So that takes us to the Bobs.
The Bobs. Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I wondered if that's where you were going with that. That's good.
It only makes sense.
But since we're doing 80s. And the Bobs were both kind of goofy-looking, funny guys that just want to do their job. I went John Candy and Louis Anderson.
No, that's good, too. Damn it.
There's a lot of ways you could have went with this, but... Yeah. So those were our picks for Office Space cast in the 80s. Listener picks, and we had a bunch. Diana said she wanted the Bobs played by... Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, it only makes sense.
Aaron came out with his Peter was Charlie Sheen. That would make sense too. He has Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Joanna, Rick Moranis as Michael Bolton. Oh, that's good shit. Tony Shalhoub as Samir. That's really good. Jeff Bridges as Lawrence. Milton is John Malkovich.
That's good too.
Yeah, that's your mentally unstable there. He has James Woods as Lumberg. That's a great pick.
God damn it.
Especially coming off like Videodrome. Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
His Tom, he has George Wendt. I love that. And for his Bobs, he has Steve Martin and John Candy.
That's perfect.
Calvin Brody says it kind of depends on when in the 80s, but he has Steve Guttenberg or Kurt Russell as Peter. Goldie Hawn as Joanna. Michael Keaton as Michael Bolton. Samir, Eddie Murphy. That's good. Yeah. Oh, and his Lawrence might be the best because he put Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, that's fucking good too.
Hey, Peter, you watching this on the public access? Hey, little Miss Muffet over here.
Yeah. Little Miss Muffet, sad or tough it. Little Boy Blue, because he needed the money. Oh!
Over here, yeah. He has Mel Gibson as his Milton, where Riggs just mutters and mumbles to himself. Sure. Yeah. He has Christopher Reeve as Lumberg. That's good, too. His Tom, he has Chevy Chase. And his Bobs, he has Jeffrey Jones and Carl Weathers. That's good. Tony comes in. Kurt Russell is his Peter. Ally Sheedy is his Joanna. That's Ally Sheedy. Mm-hmm. Rick Moranis is Michael Bolton. But Tony makes a good point there that you would have to change the name of Michael Bolton to somebody that fits more of the 80s. And he suggested changing the guy's name to Bryan Adams. Which makes a lot of sense.
Right. Or Tracy and I were talking about last night. It was like, what about Peter Frampton? Because it was in the 90s. So if it was in the 80s, it'd be 70s.
It'd be Frampton Comes Alive. Yes. Right. Oh,
your name
my
is
God.
Peter Frampton?
Frampton?
Yeah.
Yes. It's yeah. That's so good. He has Fisher Stevens as Samir.
Of course.
Of course he does. His Lawrence is Bill Murray.
I like that.
I do too. His Milton. Oh, his Milton might be the best. He has Andy Kaufman.
You win.
Yeah, you win. Fine. Fuck it. Good job, Tony. His Lumberg, he has Christopher Walken.
Oh, that's good, too.
His Tom, he has Wilford Brimley. And his Bobs, he has John Candy and Dan Aykroyd.
Well, that's good, too.
Those are all really good. Thank you, everybody, for sending in your picks. That was a lot of fun. I got a feeling this won't be the last 80s casting we do. I got a feeling
we're going to be doing more of these.
I think we'll be doing more of these.
Thanks a lot, Lopez.
Speaking of, that's a segue.
I'm a machine.
6 years and 300 shows, but we've figured out how to do something.
Yeah, he sends me no notes. This is all pure gonzo adrenaline.
Yeah. Handsome Dan sent in a couple FMKs this week. His first one here, the Ghostbusters edition. Dana Barrett, Janine Malintz, and Gozer.
I'm going to marry Dana.
Yeah.
Janine's got to go.
And you nail Gozer.
Fuck yeah. You know what they say about crazy bitches?
Yes. Yes, I do. That's the end of that. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go into my dating history. All right.
Next list. Yeah. In a meat room.
No. See,
I had to work in that meat room.
I like how you think it was just there. All right.
Fucking right, dude.
All right. His other FMK he sent in for this week is 80s Pop Diva Edition, Sade.
Oh, shit.
Vanity and Sheila E.
I'm going to marry Sheila E.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to knock the bottom out of Sade. For real. Holy fuck.
I see. I'd probably marry Sadie. Her name's Sadie. I think there's no fucking H in that. It's not
You're
Sade.
Fucking crazy.
It's
whatever.
Fucking Sadie. Whatever. I'd probably marry her and bang Sheila E.
I don't think there's any wrong answers.
I not on this one. I don't really think so. Vanity, wasn't she with the Prince?
Yeah. You know, Prince has had that. So.
Prince has had that. So, yeah, that's.
Little Percocet.
Nothing is ever scripted. All right. All right. Let's go to listener questions. Thank you, Dan, for sending those in. Chris has a question here, and it's a game question. So, Vince, this is you.
Fuck.
I really hope Juan is wrong about Cyberpunk, but I found him to be pretty insightful in these things, which in this case depresses me. But there's this other game called Outriders that I'm getting interested in. You recently heard, that they're dumping online multiplayer in order to focus on single player as good as possible. Usually these days, it's the other way around, but they're saying that in Outriders' case, they found a way they couldn't create consistent single player mechanics in a way that would translate to balanced multiplayer. So they're going to dump multiplayer. Have you guys had a chance to look at Outriders? And if so, what do you think?
I have not. I will, though.
Yeah, I haven't either. So I, of course, always default to Vince on these things. So we will see what Vince thinks when he takes a look at it. Maybe there's he'll have a thing next week.
And I love single-player games, man. I just started playing The Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good.
So maybe we'll have an update to that question next week. So
maybe.
Roboto would like to know, next question here, here's the next election process question. What is Super Tuesday? Also, how and why did each state choose when to hold their primaries? For example, Indiana's being in May. Super Tuesday is the day, as the dog tries to eat my dresser.
Yep.
When, what is it, like eight states, something ridiculous, all have their primary on the same day. That's why it's Super Tuesday. That's just the stupid name the media gave it. How and why each state chose when to hold theirs, I have no idea. It's just up to each state, and they chose. I have no real answer for that. So,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm voting for Bernie.
You idiot.
Come on.
There, are you looking for a free helicopter ride? Is that what you...
I'm looking for my free helicopter. Apparently, well, there's a bunch of them down there.
Yeah. Roboto would like to know, are the caucuses always Democratic? No. When Iowa held their caucus, that you know they reported on the Democratic caucus in Iowa, there was also a Republican one that Trump easily won because he was the only guy. But no, they're not always Democratic. So both sides have them. He has another question here. I think it's time for another internet firestorm. Is the Kool-Aid guy the pitcher or the liquid? He's both.
Yeah, I would say he's both.
It's kind of like, are you just your skin or are you everything?
I saw on Vote yesterday somebody said that you're a brain in a skeleton mech with flesh armor.
Dude, that's kind of sick.
I know, dude.
I like that. I like that a lot. Nope. Now I need weapons.
Now you need to start drinking. That fucks with your head.
I mean, I got to go to the store. I got to get refilled.
It's Sunday.
No, oh, that's right. And I live in a dry county. Oh, son of a bitch.
You're fucked.
Yeah. Better go to Catholic church. Get some of the wine. All right.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think Kool-Aid Man is both. He's neither pitcher or liquid. He has to be both. So.
Indeed.
Roboto here says it's a rule of thumb whenever someone says try this, whether it's good or bad, you try it. Name one thing for both good and bad, and was it as good or as bad as they said? So somebody suggests, hey, try this. It's either good or bad. Name one that you tried that was good, name one that you tried that was bad.
We tried a restaurant and it sucked. But it no longer exists anymore, so and now it's a Greek place. A very expensive Greek place. I'll send you the menu.
No. It's probably just all euros.
No, they've actually got they've got hummus on the menu, but holy God.
Really?
It's expensive.
Let's see. What's something good that I've tried that somebody suggested? Oh. Nobody suggests shit to me, really. Well, I can't think of it. I am completely drawing a blank here. Well, what's something that was good that somebody suggested for you, Vince?
Probably a video game. I know people have said The Outer Worlds is pretty good. Or what game? Fucking The Witcher 3.
Hmm.
I had a lot of people say, oh, yeah, that's a good game.
Oh, I got a good one. The Phantom said, here, we're watching this movie. You'll like this movie. It happened to be Boondock Saints. That was the first time I saw Boondock Saints. That turned out great. Take the rope.
You something. Said we didn't need any fucking rope.
Charlie Bronson always had rope. Something that was bad. Why? Probably some type of drink. That would be my guess. Oh, no. I have one. Oh, Timmy. Here, drink this. It was fucking Death Mix.
Oof. Why?
Because we were stupid?
No.
You know what Death Mix is?
No, what is it? Please don't show me.
I'm not. I have to actually look it up. Death Mix is Everclear, Gatorade, and Red Bull.
Holy fuck.
Stored in a Camelback that taken to sporting events, but we just mixed it at the apartment. Yeah.
Why?
Because we were stupid. Well, you think you got a hangover, sweet McFeathery Jesus.
Really? That bad?
Oh,
huh?
Lord. Like two glasses of it and you're that type of drunk.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'd say I'd never call her again. You're immediately on the phone with him. Yeah. That type of drunk. All right. Next question here comes in from Twitter. What do you guys think of the Star Wars High Republic reveal?
Meh.
First of all, it was called Project Luminous, and they hit it really well as to what it was. Somebody thought it was going to be the next video game series. Well, what it eventually came out is going to be a series of books that, if they're successful, will lead into movies. It is set 200 years prior to the original Star Wars movies in kind of a Outer Rim setting. I put the picture up from the writer's room in our Facebook group where they have diversity listed twice because you apparently once is never enough. They also had dinosaurs on the list. Not sure if those are going to make it in there. I saw one of the artwork for it, and one of the, I think he's a Jedi, but it looks like he has a gun at the side, but his gun is a lightsaber, so it's curved kind of like a Dooku's lightsaber, but it actually looks like a gun.
You say Goku?
Dooku? Christopher Lee?
Well, now I want Goku's fucking Jedi.
Force lightning! Yeah. That'd be good shit. But yeah, it's just books right now, but they're going to be so diversified that probably is going to be the shits. But if they're successful, that's going to be probably your new video game or movie source material. So I think it's the craps. So
yay.
Handsome Dan, speaking on that, aren't you kind of racist if you have to keep reminding yourself to be diverse, asking for the people in the Star Wars writing room that I posted the picture of? Yeah, it's they literally had diversity written on there twice, along with, oh, this is so much just silly shit. Make sure the story has an ending. They actually had to have that in the writer's room, which you would think writers would know, to have a fucking ending. Diversity, actual ending, feelings, no single main character, not pro-war, even though the fucking thing is named Star Wars. Relic hunters, dinosaurs, representation diversity, Arthurian legend, rival houses, just...
Dune?
We get it. You want to be Dune in Game of Thrones. You're just trying to make that into Star Wars. We get it. It's not looking good, so. All right, Handsome Dan here. Can you guys think of any one person in Hollywood who could rescue the Star Wars movie franchise if he or she were given absolute power. Boy, it would be it would be a miracle job with how they've devalued the entire franchise.
Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell as a Jedi.
You know what? I'd be all right with that. Man. If you'd have told me, if you'd asked me this, like, right as the sequel series started to come out, I probably said, like, Ron Howard or something. But since he fucked up the Solo movie so bad,
saved it. Didn't he have to go back?
They redid the whole thing, basically.
Yeah, they're like, oh, God, we're fucked. Here, do something.
Yeah. Man, I don't think any one person could save Star Wars. You would have to get a group of people like-minded. You would have to get fans. People that were legit fans and know this is what the stories are supposed to be. But if it comes to one person, no, I don't think any one person could do it.
Well, fuck, you got a whole series of books that they could go off of.
Yeah, that kills me. But, like, we need a strong female. You had it. You had fucking Mara Jade.
Yeah.
And the EU. I mean, that's where you should have went. But no, those are no longer canon because of the evil mouse. Elizabeth would like to know our next question here. How does the only black guy on the show feel about Vince's racism? A couple things on that. We don't have a black guy. We have a brown guy.
Yeah, he's not black.
And he's the most racist of them all.
He's way worse than I am, dude.
Yeah,
Vince. You don't believe how much I got to edit out of this shit.
Yeah. If they heard the unedited version, they'd be like, "Holy Christ!"
Yeah, I gotta I blush. Okay.
Yeah, Vince isn't really racist. It's just jokes. But Juan, there's people Juan don't like.
Yeah, and he will tell you.
Yeah, blatantly. So yeah. All right. Next question here from Twitter. Last night was AEW Revolution. If you watched it, what are your thoughts? I did watch. That may have been the best tag team match I have ever seen. Young Bucks against Hangman and Omega. Great match. Told a story. Are going to continue the story with the way Hangman was at the end of the match. People that got the biggest cheers. Cody's neck tattoo looks really bad, by the way. It looks really bad. People that got the biggest cheers were Hangman, Kenny, Moxley, who's your new champ. That was the right call. Fucking Darby Allin is a star. That crowd just went nuts for him. And that match, him and Sammy Guevara, that was a fantastic match. Top to bottom, great card. The only down was the women's title match, and that's because and not Statlander's fault by any means. They just didn't work well together, and Nyla Rose just something seemed off the way she couldn't do certain moves. And
is that the guy?
Yeah, the guy named Brandon that goes by Nyla Rose. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, but that was probably the only downside, but the rest of the matches were good, if not great. That tag match was amazing. So, all right, next question from Twitter. This week was the 27th anniversary of the Waco incident. What are your thoughts?
Like, what do I think about it? Yeah. Reno's burning in hell right now.
Yep, that's... You get what you fucking deserve. Apparently ATF on Twitter said, this is the anniversary, never forget these heroes. And I'm like, you really want to open this can of worms, sir? No, you do not. Yeah, they killed all those women and children.
Here are the people that killed the women and children there.
Yeah, standing on the burning rubble. Yeah, they killed them with cyanide gas and fire and... Yeah. Heroes. Just think, if it wasn't for Waco, you would have never had the Oklahoma City bombing. If it wasn't for Ruby Ridge, you would have never had any of them.
Wow.
Hey, those are just facts. Some people don't like facts, but there you go.
Yeah, but see, there's a thing going around now that it wasn't Timothy McVeigh that did it. It was a...
in the original OK Boomer?
It was a false flag.
I said that back when it happened, when the mysterious second man that was a brown guy that multiple witnesses said they saw leaving the truck. That dropped the next day. Oh, no, we never got reports of that. Okay. All right. Last question comes in from Twitter. Have you seen or done any panic buying because of the virus? I've noticed shelves are low or out at some stores on some items.
God, that's funny.
I ain't panic buying shit. You've been doing what we've been telling you for the last 5 years, you'd have enough stuff.
We told you.
Yeah, we have. Buy food, buy water, buy ammo, buy hygiene products. Buy enough stuff that you would need if you lost your job for a month.
Well, and then I'm glad the mainstream, well, not the mainstream, but there's several publications that are saying, why are they freaking out about this so yes. hard?
There's the media, a reason the media is trying to panic everybody, but I don't know why they're trying to panic everybody. Year. Yeah, they're trying to, well, Trump don't know how to handle a crisis.
Right. I mean,
really? That's the best you have now?
Elizawatha and the Super Jew can't fucking go a day without bitching about it.
All right, that fucking got me. That was good. I didn't think Elizawatha was going to get me, but
it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
They a month ago they were like, well, if you close the border, then
you're racist.
Yeah. And he did. And like 2 weeks later, we're not doing enough.
Yeah. Well, I want this amount of money to help fight this. Well, no, that's not enough.
$2.5 billion.
Yeah. Something like that.
Trump is going to give him $2.5 billion. Like here.
That's what he asked Congress for. And then Congress said, no, we need to spend more.
Yeah, we need more.
Really? How about we close the southern border?
Southern border's doing all right.
Yeah. I ain't freaked out about the virus. I don't care. The media is literally trying to weaponize an illness now as a political tool. So I don't care anymore. I'm so tuned out of all the politics bullshit. If I see one more goddamn Bloomberg ad, I swear to God.
I realized I wasn't black, and I'm white because of my privilege, and we're going to give black people more stuff.
Yeah, that'll fix the world.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Did You See the Stories? It's another week. Another violent Bernie Sanders supporter attack story.
No.
Remember, we had the story last week about how in Indiana, the white guy or the black girl or white girl, black guy
in Hobart
that tried to run children off the road and then beat them up. Yeah. Well, this one, a member of a news crew was violently attacked by supporters of Sanders at a rally in Texas last Sunday, requiring him to go to the hospital for stitches. Owen Schroyer and his crew had attended an Austin rally with bullhorns shouting, Bernie Sanders let the Democrats steal the election in 2016, which is a fact, by the way.
And then he had to go on stage like a bitch and...
we support Hillary.
Yeah. I love her.
Yeah.
Boy.
The crew was repeatedly surrounded by leftists who were upset by his presence. Unhinged Bernie supporters drew blood on my security tonight at the Bernie rally. These people are radical and violent. They are everything they claim to fight against, he tweeted, with photos and videos of the incident. The security guard was hit in the face with a bullhorn, leaving a large gash above or beside his eyebrow, almost right between the eyes. In a follow-up video, Schroyer said that his security guard had to go to the hospital to get stitches. We are on the verge of the left becoming so radical and unhinged that there will be violence in the streets. If Sanders lets the Democrats steal this nomination from him again in 2020 and he doesn't fight back, they're going to fight back and there will be massive violence. And he's not wrong. How long have we been saying that?
Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, dude's face was literally smashed with a bullhorn. Because he said, hey, Bernie let him steal it last time. Which he did. This is why we say,
they're a bunch
be careful.
Of communists, man. Fuck them.
Yeah. If you don't like, you know, the party policy, we're going to then return violent. Okay. Well, that's not a fight you want.
No, it's not a fight you want.
Oh, hey, Bloomberg. Boy, he fucked up during the debate. Did you hear this?
What'd he say now?
This was sent right after the debate ended, by the way. Former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg stated during the Democratic debate on Tuesday night that he bought the Democrats' majority in the House of Representatives. Quote, they talk about 40 Democrats. 21 of those were people I spent $100 million to help elect. All of the new Democrats that came in and put Pelosi in charge and gave the Congress the ability to control this president, I bought. I got them. That was the direct quote. Nobody on stage noticed it, but viewers quickly picked up on the fact that he's saying he bought the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm. Dual citizen, too, I bet.
Yes, I believe he is. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people in Congress, by the way. Mm-hmm. Look up that list if you're curious. Who's a dual citizen? Hmm. Oh, and then during the South Carolina debate, Joe Biden. I don't mean this to be mean.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Quit.
I think he has dementia.
Oh, yeah. I think there's something seriously wrong with
him. I think he really does. Because during the debate, Joe Biden claimed 150 million Americans have died since 2007 because gun makers cannot be sued. There's only 300 million people in America, roughly. So he's saying that since 2007, half the population has died because of guns. Here's the actual statistics. Nearly 3 million Americans die every year. Your leading causes of death, heart disease, cancer, respiratory problems, and car accidents. Those are CDC numbers. I honest to God think Joe Biden has dementia. Remember he claimed he was running for Senate, not president. Now he claims 150 million Americans have died. It's just one after another. I think he has serious problem. So, but apparently he won South Carolina. So,
got a bunch of geniuses in South Carolina.
Apparently, at least the Democrat voters are. Jesus Christ. All right. Next story that was sent in: crisis actor Greta Thunberg. Good old Greta Thumb Drive here.
Has she been to China yet?
I don't think so.
Aww.
I don't think she's been there to tell them about their pollution. So Greta Thumb Drive, the pro-democracy campaigners in Hong Kong, and the NATO Military Alliance are among those nominated for the 2020 Nobel Peace Prize. Also on the list, according to eight members of the U.S. Congress who nominated her, is Saudi women's rights activist Lujian Al-Hathawau. I think I pronounced that right. I'm guessing she didn't get to go to the super showdown in Saudi there, but because you know she's a women's rights activist. Nobel people will announce the winner in October, but good old Greta Thumb Drive there, nominated for the Peace Prize.
Well, they gave it to Obama. He drone-striked everybody.
Yep. Yep. All right, newly appointed director of policy at Reddit, Jessica Ashu.
Bless you.
Yes, I was waiting for that. Thank you. Has began working on the social media platform after a stint at the George Soros-funded Atlantic Council. She's believed to be responsible for the account Arab Scarab, which has been leading the charge to shut down the QAnon subreddit. The Great Awakening, the second largest pro-Trump subreddit, was banned Tuesday night in a move that has rocked the online community. More than 30 covert left-wing actors have been identified in the censorship plot, which includes posting as Trump supporters, to post intentionally offensive content, then flagging it to get the subreddit banned. Some of the activists linked to Media Matters, the ACLU, and even an employee of CBS has been identified as a member of this plot. Top Reddit moderators continue to investigate the network of activists who are executing something called Ban Out 2018, an assault on Trump supporters online. Ashu, overseeing policy at Reddit, at the Atlantic Council, she served as deputy director for Middle East strategy. In 2017, she moved to Reddit. She also removed over half the mods of the Donald subreddit and told who was left, that their moderators were banned and they can only pick now from, quote, vetted and approved applicants to replace them. This is the same policy that China uses in Hong Kong. Sure, you can have free elections, but you can elect from people. We give you a list of who you can elect from. It's a common Marxist communist practice.
So everybody's coming to vote then. Is that what?
Well, I think they started their own site, to be honest with you. Yeah. No, people that left the Awakening and some of the Donald subreddit people. Yeah, sure, you can have new mods, but here's a list of new mods you can have. Very communist. All right, this next fucking story. A viral TikTok video of a drag brunch show showed a drag queen suggestively crawling up to a child before embracing her. A TikTok user posted a video captioned "Drag Brunch Realness," showed a room full of people watching a drag queen suggestively dance towards a little girl while she was seated in the chair in the middle of a room. Drag queen Tainomi Banks, the publicist, confirmed that the drag queen in the video is indeed him, a Canadian drag queen who identifies as female, dressed in jean shorts. If they were half as long, they would be Daisy Dukes. Okay. So her ass was out. She was in a long black sleeve or a long sleeve leotard, crawls toward the child and hands her something for dancing away to the song "Lose Control." The video then shows the child look around the room at everybody watching her before Banks dances toward the child again and embraces her.
Why do women take their kids to that shit?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. I'm trying to temper what I say because I don't want you to have to edit anymore. But
no, I mean, I just want to know. I mean, why do women take their kids to that shit?
To be danced on by a man dressed as a woman.
Yeah, suggestively.
Yeah.
Nah. Corona, maybe.
If that don't fix the problem, there's another way to do it.
I think the other way is going to happen here pretty soon.
I think it is. I think the guy we had a story of, was it last week? I think he had a good start. You can go back to listen to figure out which story I'm talking about. All right. Last story for this week. I don't have a good story to end on, sadly, because I had to edit a bunch. Another story about New York's bail failure. Remember, we had the story about the guy.
Oh, the black guy.
Yeah. Police in New Windsor arrested, God damn it, a sex offender for allegedly trespassing at a fucking nursery school. But he has since been freed under New York State's new bail reform law.
Sure.
61-year-old Mark Nelson of Newburgh entered the facility's fenced-in playground. Two employees of the school and two children were exiting the side door to the playground when he allegedly tried to approach them in the darkened area and make contact with them. The women and children then retreated to their vehicle, left the area, and called police. Police say that Nelson is a level 3 sex offender in New York State. Level 3 is the most dangerous level. In 1996, he was convicted of sexually assaulting two girls aged 10 and 11. In this incident, he was located and arrested for third-degree criminal trespass, a misdemeanor, and he was released on his own recognizance under New York's new bail reform law. A level 3 offender who has the most likelihood of reoffending, who has committed the most egregious crimes, can lure and try to make contact with young children in a fenced-in area of a school, of a nursery school, playground. We cannot have fallen any further as a society, said Assemblyman Colin Schmidt. One way to fix it.
Yeah, throw them in the Hudson.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I would do something more brutal and more public. You gotta send a message. You know, there was a guy named Vlad.
Yeah?
Back in the day.
Nice guy.
He was a nice guy. He defended his people. He was a good king. He sent a message to people.
It's good to be the king.
You imagine just Central Park lined with pikes?
Yeah, I totally could.
I'm liking this idea more and more. All right. Before I continue on that.
No, baby, I was listening. Yeah.
Yeah, that's we got to get rid of these fucks. I mean, it's not even a political thing. Listen, he's already attacked kids and he was going to do it again.
But now he's back on the street.
Yeah, now he's right back on the street. Well, we can't hold him. It was just a misdemeanor. Then don't hold him, but when something bad happens to him, you sure as shit shouldn't prosecute it.
It's like New York in the 60s and 70s all over again. The corruption is like...
I don't understand majority of government, just because that's kind of where I lean nowadays. But why is the government not protecting the people? Is my question. You're there. I mean, a society is basically judged on how well you take care of your young and your old. We fail on both parts here. So, the Society of New York.
Here's the bigot.
Fine. I don't care what people call me anymore. I honest to God, don't care. You fuck with the kids, you get the rope.
Yep.
Or you get a pike. Really thinking the pike is a way to go.
Really put the fear of God in them.
That's exactly what they need. So, all right. Vince, do you have any final thoughts on this lovely episode?
Keep your stick on the ice so the women don't find you handsome. At least they might find you handy.
If you can't take a high road, take the high ground and line that sumbitch with pikes. Dang, that'll work. Juan might be back next week. We don't know. Still trying to see when and if we can get Short back on the show. So there's things in the works. Thank you, everybody, for all your support. As always, share, make new people listen. So hold them down and make them listen to us babble on about pikes. So...
Jesus Christ. That was short and sweet.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. Thank you, everybody. And hopefully, if Vince can get over his hangover and doesn't get the Corona-chan.
Hey, I'm good now.
We'll talk to everybody next week.
Bye.
Bye.